Welcome to The Leader's Edge, where we celebrate leadership and shine a light on the visionary leaders that are shaping our future. I'm H.R. Huntsman, founder of The Leader's Edge, creator of The Leader's Edge Performance Engine and Leader's Edge University. I am thrilled to bring you stories from leaders who are making a difference around the world. In each episode, we champion the innovative strategies, courageous decisions, and inspiring journeys of those who lead with purpose and passion. So whether you're looking to refine your leadership skills or you simply want to be inspired, my friend, you're in the right place. In this episode, I can't wait for you to meet Bruce McGlynn. Bruce is the founder and lead instructor of Human Nature Hunting. Yes, we're talking about hunting today. Bruce has nearly 40 years of bird and big game hunting experience in the Pacific Northwest. Passed down from his father, hunting has been a way of life for Bruce from the beginning, from early childhood. And he sees as much importance in the experiences of and personal growth gained from hunting as he does a source of healthy food and connection to nature. Of course, he's a business owner. He's growing this business as a leader and a teacher and an instructor. Bruce is committed to the stewardship of the land and wildlife primarily due to his understanding and appreciation of our ecosystem from engaging in it as a participant, a hunter. His desire is to help heal and strengthen the human connection to nature. That's what inspires him to teach and pass on his skills so others can experience the joy of the hunt with confidence and a renewed sense of connection to their place in the ecosystem. Get ready to experience the call of the wild with my friend, Bruce McGlynn. Bruce, thank you so much for joining me on The Leader's Edge. I really appreciate you taking your time.
You bet. Thank you, Mr. Huntsman.
I see you're in your cabin. For those that are just listening here, Bruce is in a wooded cabin in the woods. Tell me about your, just give me a brief overview of your everyday lifestyle.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mixture of running a small business, running a small homestead, and raising a small family. We've got almost a two-year-old and another one on the way, so things are going to get even more exciting here.
Oh, and, congratulations.
Thank you. And we're on a little over 300 acres of land that's partly family-owned, and we've had for a while. And I've been the primary manager of it over the years. And 20-some years ago, I took some time off in my previous engineering career and came out here and built this log cabin, which I'm in now, without ever any intention of living here. But about when the pandemic hit, actually, I pulled the trigger and moved out here because I was already running these hunting programs here, but just going back and forth between Seattle. So a lot of the time is just we have animals on and off here. There's a lot of timber to manage, trying to grow some food. Just general homestead type chores and cutting firewood. We got the wood stove burning. You can see the stove pipe in the background there. We got that burning. That's our main source of heat. So we burn that all winter, but it's transitioning into spring here now. So things are growing and there's no shortage of chores to do.
I bet on 300 acres. I want to talk about your outdoor adventure programs, your hunting programs in a moment, but I'm curious about the transition from your professional engineer. I think you have your master's in engineering, something like that. Tell me about the transition from the corporate world to this homesteading outdoor adventure lifestyle. How did that come about?
It was a long process because it's not an easy track. And there were periods of checking out different engineering opportunities, but not really feeling that was the right move. I went and got an MBA, a little bit of an alternative program. It was called the Bainbridge Graduate Institute, which is no longer going now, but it was a sustainable-based MBA, so a very triple bottom-line focus. And I still wasn't sure how to incorporate this idea of hunting into work, which we can talk about later. But the process, it was slow until it happened, and then it happened pretty quickly. And it was just slow because I felt like there was a lot of momentum and inertia in today's society to stay plugged in to the corporate life. And as I stepped out of that for a while and just took a break, I could tell that my friends and family were a little uneasy. You shouldn't get out too long and get back in the game. And just they were worried about my just financial well-being and
Sure.
professional development, probably. But so I had to fight that off a little bit and keep making space, driving a wedge in that little gap and make more and more space to just settle from the fast pace and then start putting some ideas and pieces together to figure out how to create a small business that would allow me to do what I'm doing now. And it was risky, and everything's risky. But when you give up a 9 to 5 and paycheck and health insurance and benefits and stuff, I never know what's going to happen. But I guess at the end of the day, our best resource is our time, and it just comes down to how we want to spend our time.
I think all entrepreneurship is risky. All of us who have started companies, you just leap off a cliff. You're betting on yourself. You're betting on yourself. You're not relying on other people so much and what other people are building, and you're building something yourself. So tell us what you've built. Talk to us about the outdoor adventure programs that you run, and we're going to get to the why behind them, but tell us about the what first, and we're going to get to the why.
Well, it's primarily a program to help people reconnect to nature through hunting and gathering.
Okay.
And we're not a lot of industry in hunting is around guided hunts and outfitted hunts. And that's not what we're doing. This is a program to teach people the skills, help them get over the hurdles and barriers to entry to hunting, give them the skills and confidence so that they can get out there and start their own journey. And we do similar stuff with some foraging of shellfish, which is, as I say, it's an easy way to get, or it's a good way for people to get their feet wet because it's a very small lift. But it's still, we're going out in the tide flats, showing them how to identify different types of hard shell clams and rake them up and where to find them and how to shuck oysters. And then we take everything back and cook it up in a group feast at the end. So it's a very tied to table experience where they're gathering their food and which is alive and eating it right there in the whole experience. And so it's and that's just a the next step up is the hunting realm. And so the courses we do there are very focused, multi-day course going over all the skills and how-tos and to help people get from basically zero to a high up on a plane a little bit so they can hit the ground running when the hunting season comes and get out there and feel like they have the confidence to go out and explore and just start the hunting process, which I feel is like a lifelong learning process. It's not a necessarily a one and done kind of a experience for me. Even after almost 40 years of hunting, I feel like I learn something every time I go out there. So it's really helping people. It's like what I tell them is that I can't, nobody can give them what I'm hoping that they eventually find from this process. And it's not something that can be given to them. But what we can do is give them the skills and confidence to get out and begin that journey. And I think that's what they're ultimately looking for is the journey of the hunt,
I see.
being a hunter, understanding what it means to be connected to the landscape and the ecosystem and life and death and our food as a participant, a direct participant, rather than an observer or a consumer.
Why do you feel this is important in our modern day? 200 years ago, 100 years ago, we were far more tied to the land. People had chickens and cows and goats and pigs, and harvesting our own meat was a very normal thing. The life and death cycle is a very normal thing. And now in our modern lifestyle, we just go to the store if we're meat eaters at all. We go to the store and just pick out chicken or ham or beef or whatever. Why do you feel it's important that we regain what used to be very natural to us?
We look back at history, and for some 2 million years, But our best guess is that humans have been hunting and gathering for that most of that time. And humans and our ancestors have been hunting and gathering. And it's only been in the last 5 or 10,000 years that agriculture has cropped up. And so for the vast majority of our existence, we've had this connection and this tie to land, which is a fairly sustainable relationship. And some people think that the change over to agriculture and the development of the plow is the beginning of the end for us. But this is probably way beyond the scope of this podcast, and it's complicated. And I'm not saying that the past dictates the future, or maybe we're evolving out of hunting, who knows? But the fact that it's been ingrained in us for so long, I think we owe it to ourselves to at least explore, what that is. And I think ultimately, for me, the experience of being a hunter has made me want to be the best steward to the land and our resources as possible, because I see myself integrated into the ecosystem totally. And so I think the lack of that, we forget what the ecosystem is because we're so focused on technology or whatever. But it's at the end of the day, the economy can crash and it's going to hurt a lot of people. But if our ecosystem crashes, that's game over. It's the ultimate, I think, most important system, that the more we're engaged with it and in tune with it, the better we can maintain a healthy situation on the planet and continue to evolve and create new things, but with in conjunction with a healthy home.
I like your word steward there. That rings true with me. All the hunters I know, and I've been a hunter in the past, a bow hunter, they're the most conscientious about stewardship of the planet, care for animals, least amount of waste. They tend to be the most conscientious people. The stereotype is that they're wasteful and just blasting up the forest, and that's not at all my experience with the hunters I know. They're very careful, very conscientious about wildlife. They care about the ecosystem more than all the non-hunters I know. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, hunting is a tricky, touchy subject.
It is.
And it's fascinating how quickly we have lost that. But in our generation, it's things like Disney movies, Bambi, who Hunter was
Right.
the antagonist.
Yeah.
And I was called Bambi Killer growing up in high school and grade school. And
Sure.
people didn't, that was their experience with hunting, because as 5% or less of the general public population hunts anymore.
Is that
And
right?
there are certainly some bad apples out there, just like there are in society.
Sure.
So it's usually those that are making a name for hunting, and it's like, we need to create a new name for hunting. But I agree, by and large, all the hunters I know are very responsible, respectful, ethical, and they, contrary to other belief, I really care about wildlife and life in general. And I think that's hard for some people to understand, is how can you care for life and go out and kill it? But it's goes way deeper than that. And although Leopold is he was in the Forest Service, and he was a conservationist, and he wrote a book called The Sand County Almanac, which is a great story. And he used to talk about the first sign of intelligent tinkering is that you don't pull a piece out and throw it away just because you don't understand it. If the whole is good, the parts that make up the whole must contribute to that wholeness. And in a way, hunting is a part that's been pulled out and almost thrown away because people don't understand it anymore. And if we do, we might be losing a critical piece of the puzzle, an important way that we relate to the land and the earth and the ecosystem that we may not totally understand anymore, but it's important from the way we got here.
Let's go a little bit broader rather than just focusing on hunting. I know you're about so much more. What are we losing by not being connected to nature, by not getting out and hiking, by not getting out and fishing, by not getting out in the woods? in the water and the waves. What, as humans, what do you believe we're losing by not getting outside?
There's probably other ways to get this, but I've experienced it the most from hunting, and I think it's an aliveness, a humanness, a raw, wild, undomesticated feeling of really being alive and sucking the marrow out of life. And I feel that the most after coming out of the mountains after a 2 week backcountry hunt. Just it's nothing, it's really hiking around the woods all day with some gear, and but it's very different than that. Than just hiking it. You're hiking with a purpose and an intention, and that intention is to go out and find an animal and kill it so that you can eat it and survive and feed your family. And we don't really need to do that in this day and age, but it's still the principles are there, and it taps into something deep inside of us, I think, is goes back a long ways. And I think that's the difference, is that just going out there into the woods with that intention. For me, it awakens my senses and heightens my senses, and my intuition starts coming alive and gets louder, and I follow it, and I'm listening to everything. I'm paying attention to the wind. I'm smelling things. I'm using all my senses and trying to tap in and learn about the landscape and the animals and learning about myself and the process. And plus, it's really good exercise on top of that. Just we're meant to walk around like
Right.
that all day. So that combination, I think that's what we're missing by not doing this type of living this kind of lifestyle anymore.
Who do you find are the ideal candidates for your various courses? Who signs up? Who says, I want to try this?
It's primarily a lot of folks from the urban areas that are working a lot. They realize they're overworked and they didn't grow up in a family of hunters, but they're, as they learn more and more about where their food comes from and what they want to be eating, they start to buy organic and they go to the farmer's market and buy directly from the farms and realize like the final step of that is going out and hunting
I
in the
see.
wild.
Okay.
And so but they don't know where to start. They didn't grow up with it. Hunting's a little bit tricky to break into because it's a little bit of a closed community because a lot of hunters have their secret spots and they don't want to share them with other people for good reasons.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of this part of the country, there's a ton of public land out there, and we are really fortunate. So I think urban folks, or just anyone that didn't grow up in a hunting family, that has gotten to a point of really wanting to learn. And like I mentioned earlier, we've got a third of our students are women. So it's a pretty diverse community. And yeah, that I think they're just ready to figure out the path.
What happens? What happens when you get this urban guy, this urban gal that's been at a desk working 50, 60 hours a week, and they feel this tug, this pull. They've taken that journey to organic and then farm to table, and what's the next step? Next step. What happens when they get out there? What do you see happen? Is there a transformation that takes place?
Yeah, it's funny. A lot of people get here and you can just see that their RPMs are high. They're going. And I think for a lot of them, it's a little bit of a shock. Like the first day we get into things and they share later, man, I thought it's like ready to go. And what are we doing? We're taking these things really slow. And what am I doing here? And by the end of the course, they're reflecting back and say, oh my gosh, the way that you helped us slow down in the beginning and just tune in and get grounded was really what I needed. And so I think even though it's just 4 or 5 days out here, it's still enough for the things we're going through together as a small group. We're dealing with an animal and doing some difficult things together. It really helps push people through and past their comfort zones and question their lives. And we sit around the campfire and it can get very emotional because I think some people realize that they've just been on a different track than maybe what nature intended. And
And what does it look like specifically? Are we sleeping on the ground? Are we in tents? Are we in cabins? What does our day look like? Paint me a picture.
any either any of those options, we have tenting options and cabin options. And some people do elect to build their own shelters or sleep out under the stars. But it's other full days. We've got a chef on site. Actually, this year is an alum from the program several years ago. And so we've got 3 meals a day. And we start at 7, and we're usually eating dinner around 7 or so. And we're just between those meals and a break at lunch, we're covering the steps of the things people need to do to get ready to hunt. And that includes one of the first and biggest steps is dispatching an animal and field dressing it and skinning it. And we hang it up that night, and next morning we butcher it down completely, the primals and subprimals and the steaks and the roasts and the grind, everything else, and cut the bones up for stock. And we get 4 or 5 containers of all this stuff in the refrigerator, and then they eat that for the next 3 or 4 days. So they eat the animal that they worked on. And we're running these things out of the hunting season to get people ready for the hunting season, which is pretty short in the fall. So we've got a herd of goats here, and we use one goat. And in the early days, we would have a farmer dispatch one, put it in the woods, I'd run a blood trail to it. But people were more and more curious about that dispatching process. And so we started incorporating that into it, even though we're very clear that this is not a hunt. This is more of a farm slaughter, and that's very different. But at least they want to understand that and observe it from a distance and kind of ease their way into it. And that's difficult for some people, but they, I think, very quickly realize, like, if I'm going to eat meat, I've got to face up to this fact. Either that, or I'm going to have to hire a hitman to do it for me. So it's dealing with an animal. We're going over shooting of rifles and bows. We'll start out, a lot of people have never shot. We'll start with BB guns and work our way up to 22s and hunting rifles, and the same with bows. We're covering tracking and scouting and various exercises in the woods to build their awareness and how to move and what to look for and how to disappear and calm down. And then we do some simulated hunts where we're hiking to the woods and looking for targets and shooting at steel targets in field conditions. And we'll usually have, depending on the time of year, either turkeys or small game, we'll have some small game hunts incorporated in for people to start putting these practices to use. And for a lot of them, it's the first time they have to face the question, like, am I ready to pull the trigger at a live target? Which is also very different than just shooting at something stationary, because it might be there for a second and it's gone. And then infused in through all this is, like you say, the meals and the meal time and time around the campfire to just philosophize and share thoughts and ideas and questions about what it all means to be human and a meat eater or not a meat eater. And I'm not, I my wife is was a vegetarian for 12 years when we met, and she's started hunting with me, and she's on her own journey, but realized that it's. And I think she realized what I also felt was true, which there's a lot of crossover in the two philosophies, and that neither one of us want any suffering or exploitation of animals. And that's more the commercial meat industry. The hunting industry, it's illegal to sell animals, so there is none of that. So, yeah, it's the philosophizing and sitting around the campfire like our ancestors did hundreds of thousands of years ago, I think, is a also important part of just the human experience.
What transformation do you see? As you're talking, I'm picturing City Slickers, where Billy Crystal goes out and they're just looking for this adventure and he turns into a cowboy. What transformation do you see with these urban guys, gals, City Slickers come out into 5 days? They're totally immersed in this. You're talking about it, you're practicing it, you're walking through the woods, you're dispatching game. What do you see happen with these folks?
I think there's just a level of confidence that comes with knowing that if you have to, you can go out and give death to an animal, process it, take care of it, and have that meat to eat and feed your family and friends. And just that skill set alone, I think gives us freedoms that have been taken away from us in the modern consumerism
Sure.
lifestyle. But in a more, this past last week, we had a woman out and a couple out, and the guy was really intent on coming, and then later on he invited his wife to join him, and she was a little unsure. She thought, I'll come in and support you, and I'll probably end up reading my book and I'm just going for walks in the woods. And we got into it and started the program, and we just kept inviting her to participate in the next thing and the next thing, and she kept accepting the invitations. And she said, I never thought I would have my hands in an animal gutting it or even be anywhere around that kind of a process. And she had a fear of guns, and she overcame that and shot very well and enjoyed it. And so I think I heard from her recently that she's went home and started writing about it, and she was 13 pages in. So I'm looking forward to hearing
Oh
her
my
reflections
goodness.
on it. I haven't seen those yet.
Do you ever see the opposite happen where people come out and they're like, oh, this just isn't for me. I thought I would like this and the blood just grosses me or whatever.
Not really.
No, okay. Fantastic.
I think if anything, it has to do with like their ideas about how they're going to go about it. So maybe they start out thinking they're going to be a bow hunter, and they
Yeah.
pick up a bow and shoot it a few times and realize that it's just really uncomfortable, and they switch over to rifle or vice versa. They don't like the harshness of a rifle and they migrate over to archery, something like that. But
I say, what impact, when it's all said and done, what do you want people to say about you and the impact and the legacy you're leaving?
again, it's really about our connection to the land, the ecosystem, and nature, that we're to the point where we feel like we are nature. We're all connected. And I hope through this that I can help people have that realization and shift their lifestyle a little bit away from the consumerism and more toward the participation in and of what our ecosystem is and what it has to offer, and therefore being better stewards of the land and the resource, and having that ripple out and share that with their communities and so on. I do think that my folks have been involved in conservation my whole life, and when I was 8 or 9, I think my dad ran an initiative. It was Initiative 90. The proposal was to raise sales tax 0.1% to pay for wildlife management, because the funding was disappearing, because it typically is hunted funded by hunters and hunting licenses. And we went out and collected ballot signatures, and it got on the ballot, but it didn't pass because nobody likes taxes. But their slogan was, habitat is the key to wildlife. And I feel like that is true for all wildlife, including humans.
Yeah.
And a healthy habitat, a healthy ecosystem, a healthy earth system is going to be better for us in the long run. And if we lose that, I think it's just going to be an uphill battle that I really don't want to. And maybe who knows where we are in that process, but
Yeah.
it's not too late until it's too late. And so if we can come back around and really embrace the fact that we are part of this world, I think we'll have a better chance.
I really appreciate what you're doing. I shared with you off camera before we started that my favorite book as a little boy was The Call of the Wild. Here is the dog, the hero of the story, Buck. He's found in a plantation, sitting nice and easy on a porch, and through a series of events, he gets up to Alaska and becomes a sled dog and discovers that he was meant for more than just sitting on a porch. And I relate to Buck very much, that call of the wilds in me. It's probably in all of us as humans, and we just tamp it down and cover it up and gloss it over with that urban lifestyle and sitting in front of the TV. So I appreciate you helping us discover that call of the wild. We are part of nature, so I appreciate you doing that for us. How can people get a hold of you?
Our website is probably the best place, humannaturehunting.com. And we've got some social media stuff out there, but frankly, I It's a little bit of a love-hate relationship, but we're on
I'm sure.
Instagram and a few things. But
It's almost contrarian to your lifestyle.
it's a double-edged sword. And a lot of people have, I think, a long time ago would have gone the route of creating an online hunting course, but that promotes more screen time, even though it
Right.
helps people get out. And I think
Right.
there's some value to that, and
Yeah.
we're playing with that idea to a little bit. But yeah, it's running these in-person courses is a lot more work than just creating a video and letting it run forever.
Sure.
But there's something very magical about being in here in person with a small community of humans that likely never met, but very quickly we join together in a common goal to procure food and live off on the land
I love
and be a community in an old village. And I think that's really what we're longing for, and maybe what we really need in the end of the day.
it. Yeah, I love it. I'm happy to share the word and share your story. Bruce, thank you so much for spending some time with me sharing your story. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet, HR. Appreciate it. Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Well, that's it for today's show. Thank you for joining us on The Leader's Edge. I hope today's conversation inspired you to lead with even greater purpose and passion. In fact, today's show, I hope, inspired you to get out of the house, get out in nature in some way, shape, or form, and reconnect to your own ecosystem. My big three takeaways from my conversation with Bruce are these. Number one, connection to nature helps us become more whole. I fully agree with this. We miss out on an important part of who we are when we are disconnected to the ecosystem around us. Let's get off our couches, get unplugged from our cell phones, and get out and play. Number two, never stop learning. Bruce mentioned that he learned something from every hunt and every class. This is a great lesson for every one of us. Today has something to teach you. Put on your student mentality and go out and learn. And number three, give back. Bruce is a passionate teacher who wants to share his love for the outdoors and hunting with anyone willing to learn. This is, again, a great reminder for us to help impact the generations coming behind us. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. Listen, I'd love a five-star review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us reach more leaders just like you, and that's the point of this entire show. To help pay it forward to new generations of leaders. Stay connected with us on social media for behind-the-scenes content, leadership insights, and updates on future episodes. Check us out at yourleadersedge.com and follow us at Leaders Ed Podcast on all major platforms. Until next time, keep pushing boundaries, keep leading at the edge. I'm HR Huntsman. We'll see you soon.